As the marathon season begins, there's a new focus on performance-enhancing drug use by distance runners, especially the Africans who dominate. Earlier this month, former Kenyan world champion Moses Kiptunui said doping was rampant in his country's famous running camps where the elite athletes train. And right after that, three Kenyan marathoners were suspended for failing drug tests. Before the Olympics in London last summer, German television reported systematic doping by Kenyan runners, charges the Kenyan athletic authorities denied, but then they launched their own investigation. Scott Douglas is editor of Runner's World Newswire. He's following this story. And Scott, how big is this in the running world?
It's big. I mean, doping is always big in running, but it's especially so now because of the allegations and because of then follow-up evidence that the allegations have some merit. That combined with the logistical difficulty and the cost of conducting the out-of-competition tests that are sort of the best way to deter use of performance-enhancing drugs.
Why? What's the problem? I guess the problem may be that these events don't happen all the time, so the testing has to be when you're out of competition?
So out-of-competition testing is much more effective than post-race testing because the standard joke is if you get caught, if you fail a post-race drug test, then you're either stupid or you have a pretty unsophisticated doping system. The drugs, if you know when you're going to be tested, then you can time your doping so that the drugs leave your system before you're going to be tested. Out-of-competition testing entails the tester showing up unannounced, generally at 6 a.m. They wake you up and they ask you to pee into a cup. And so there's no way of knowing when they're going to show up. And so if you're doping, then you're much more likely to get caught. So it's not only a better way to catch, but it's also, in theory, should provide more of a disincentive to cheat if you think that they might show up at any time.
Well, but these runners are around the world, and then they come to one place for a race. And Moses Kiptunui said runners are doping because there's so much money to be made, more than $100,000 just for the Boston Marathon. That goes a long way in Africa. But is there also a sense, Scott, that people may be ganging up on the Kenyan runners because they win?
Not ganging up. It might be more that it's overdue, and not overdue in the sense that, oh, everybody from Kenya are cheaters, but because generally out-of-competition testing is applied most to the people who are most successful in any given event. Mm-hmm. The most commonly tested sprinters would be Americans and Jamaicans. So if most of the top marathoners are from a couple countries, then you would want to devote the testing resources to those countries.
So
and
what
that has not occurred, that hasn't occurred yet on a large scale, just because of the logistical difficulties of doing that.
So what are marathons doing to deal with this?
So last week, there's a consortium of six major marathons, the World Marathon Majors, including here in the States, Boston, New York, and Chicago. They announced a new policy where if you are an elite runner contracted to run one of their races and you fail a drug test, they then are saying that we now have the right to go back and go after your appearance fee and your prize money. And it was worded pretty broadly before, during, and after the terms of the agreement. So in theory, if I place third at the Boston Marathon and win prize money, and then 2 years later fail a drug test, in theory, they could go after me and get my money. So the hope is that will provide further disincentive to cheating at the big marathons.
Scott, last quick question. You tweeted today you were going to be on with us talking about doping, and then you wrote, presumably in running, but maybe also in ice fishing. Tell me you are kidding.
Right. No, so there was a story in the New York Times a few days ago that they are now conducting testing in ice fishing. Testing occurs in tons of sports. I had reason to look at testing in I was trying to find out who was the most tested U.S. runner in 2012. That led me into this black hole of looking at testing in other sports, and it's crazy. There's testing for bridge players.
No.
There's testing for bocce cheerleaders. All kinds of billiards. It's crazy. I've told my father-in-law, who's a tournament bridge player, that I'm on to him now. I'm going to be watching what he takes.
Scott Douglas, editor of Runner's World Newswire, we have to have you back for that expanded look at doping in sport. His book, by the way, The Runner's World Complete Guide to Minimalism and Barefoot Running, is going to be published in March. We'll have you back for that as well. Scott, thanks so
Great.
Much.
Thank you.
Okay. Quick break. Back in 30 seconds, here and now.